Wisconsin's conservative majority on the state Supreme Court ruled that police are justified to search someone because they smell marijuana in their car. But if there isn't any marijuana recovered from the search, doesn't matter, according to the ruling. The defendant in the case was convicted of fentanyl and cocaine possession after a police search found the substances in bags concealed under his clothing. The dissenting liberal justices say the officers in the case lacked probable cause for a search because marijuana smell is indistinguishable from legal substances like hemp or CBD. We're taking a look at the case and the wider concept of probable cause. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with the court's opinion? Have you been searched by police or your vehicle has, in part because of the smell of something incriminating? Do you have questions about how probable cause works when it comes to police searches? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. John Gross is a clinical associate professor of law at UW-Madison. He directs the university's Public Defender Project. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me.
I want to zoom in on this particular case that came to the state Supreme Court here before we look at wider issues. The short version, police say they saw the defendant driving erratically, threw something out the window, pulling him over, did a quick search, but then smelled marijuana, they say, in the car. That led them to make a closer search, which ultimately found the incriminating evidence. Can you take us through the arguments that we saw as this worked its way up from the initial trials up to the Supreme Court?
Sure. So what's at issue here is whether or not the officers had what's referred to as probable cause to actually make an arrest. If they did have probable cause to arrest the driver of the vehicle, then they could conduct what's called a search incident to that arrest and search his person for any weapons or contraband, because the theory being they were going to take him into custody because they had probable cause to arrest. Now, probable cause is defined as a reasonable ground to believe that the person is committing or has committed a crime. So it's a very flexible standard. It's not just a possibility or a suspicion, but it's not the standard at trial, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Officers are expected to use their common sense. The sticking point here was the officers claimed to smell marijuana. And while possession of marijuana in Wisconsin is illegal still, and there is a case from about 25 years ago that says that when officers smell marijuana, that is in and of itself probable cause to make an arrest. Recently, marijuana had, at least in Wisconsin, other things like hemp and CBD oils and things that can be ingested via vape pens, those things have been legalized and they smell exactly like marijuana. And so the question was, just because the officers smell something like marijuana, can they be sure it's the contraband that contains the chemical THC, or could it be hemp or CBD oil, which is actually legal?
Another concern was the defendant said he had rented the car from someone, pointed out that he personally didn't smell like marijuana. There was the possibility that someone else had previously smoked marijuana in the car that didn't necessarily point toward the defendant having used it himself. Did this come up at any part of this chain of court trials?
Yes. I mean, this is another factor that goes into whether or not the police would have probable cause to believe that they could arrest the person for a marijuana related offense, because the smell of marijuana, especially if it is smoked, can linger. Somebody could have smoked marijuana in the car earlier in the day, which could have led officers to smell marijuana when they pulled him over. But does that automatically lead to the conclusion that this person who's driving the vehicle is in possession of marijuana or under the influence of marijuana? Those are other questions that sort of go against this idea that at that moment, just because they smelled marijuana emanating from the vehicle, that they had probable cause to arrest the driver either for possession or perhaps for driving under the influence.
Now, this is clearly not a slam dunk case because some courts on the way up agreed that no, police didn't have probable cause. There's a slim, a 4-3 majority on the state Supreme Court agreed, oh, yes, they did have probable cause. So how often do we end up in these sort of gray areas of probable cause in the courts?
Yeah, so probable cause is, as you just said, it is a gray area. It is a very factually specific determination that police officers are asked to make. And courts honestly have trouble, drawing clear lines in this area because you want to give law enforcement some flexibility here. You anticipate that they will take into account all of the factors that they are observing and use their common sense and try to come to a conclusion about whether or not they think a crime was probably committed. But there are so many different factual scenarios that can arise when police are investigating potential crimes. It's hard for a court to give them clear direction. This, however, is one of those instances where at least the majority is giving police officers pretty clear direction, which is if they smell marijuana, that in and of itself seems to be enough for them to make an arrest.
John, a layperson might look at this and work backwards. Okay, ultimately, the police found fentanyl and cocaine in this person's possession when they did a more intense search than the initial pat-down. So in hindsight, that legitimizes the search in the first place because they did find something. That doesn't really justify things in the way probable cause is defined, as I understand it. Do I have that right?
Yes, I mean, you're correct. I mean, you cannot work backwards, right? Police officers can't decide to overstep reasonable grounds to commit a search and then say, but we did find something, so that makes what we did okay. No, if police officers engage in aggressive searches or seizures of people when they don't have probable cause to make an arrest, then the law actually recognizes that any evidence that they recover because of that unlawful, unjustified search or arrest, that evidence can be suppressed in a court of law. That can be thrown out. And so just because they find something after the fact is not enough of a justification to say that they were acting reasonably when they decided to conduct the search. It has to be based on what they know at the time they decide to make an arrest or initiate a search, not from what they learn after the fact.
Talking to John Gross, clinical associate professor of law at UW-Madison. He directs the University Public Defender Project. We're looking at probable cause in Wisconsin, probable cause for police searches after a state Supreme Court ruling on the issue saying that, yeah, the smell of marijuana coming from a car is probable cause enough to search the car, the person who was in the car. You could join in with your thoughts, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Bill is with us in Milwaukee. Bill, hi.
Hello, everybody. I do not smoke marijuana in my car, but I've been driving where the people ahead of me are. My smoke gets in my car. Now, what if some cop stops me, sticks his head in my window, and smells that? And he's supposed to grab me and search me?
Bill, thanks for the call. Now, in the case before the Supreme Court, John, the officers had described it, I think, as an overwhelming smell of marijuana or pervasive. Could, in Bill's instance, sort of a secondhand smoke literally justify a police search?
Well, I hope it wouldn't. But I think when you look at the language of this decision, it does send the message to officers that if they happen to smell marijuana, that's enough. Now, it could be, as the caller suggested, could be secondhand smoke. It could be from somebody else smoking in the vehicle earlier in the day, or even before that, if the odor lingers. So that's the real concern here, right? The real concern is that just because officers might credibly say, oh, I think I smell marijuana, does that really entitle them to conduct an arrest and a search of the person and a search of the vehicle? Is it really reasonable to jump to the conclusion that the mere odor suggests the presence of marijuana at that moment?
Thanks a lot for that call, Bill. Now, John, I suspect some people might be listening with an assumption that police are going to abuse the concept of probable cause and massage it to justify any search they want to do. And some people are listening, thinking that police are going to be well-intentioned and, you know, use it appropriately. Do we have any sense of how probable cause is used in practice on average by police departments?
So, I mean, I would say that most law enforcement officers are trying to make a good faith effort based on all the facts and circumstances to figure out whether or not they truly have probable cause to make an arrest or conduct a search. But I think there's also a legitimate concern about an officer being able to claim that they happen to smell marijuana. I mean, as a defense attorney for most of my career, it's almost impossible to challenge that in court. I can't go back in time and test the area around the vehicle to see whether or not it did smell like marijuana. By the time a defense attorney gets a case like this, that odor has completely dissipated. So it's really giving an officer a blank check. If the officer wants to just claim that they smelled marijuana, it's very difficult to challenge that in court. Now, of course, as in this case, when the officer says they smell marijuana, but they don't find any in the vehicle or on the person, well, that might undercut the officer's credibility. But ultimately, you're still asking a judge to, you're asking a judge to consider whether or not the officer is lying to them. And that is a heavy burden to me in a courtroom.
Talking to John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison. He directs the university's Public Defender Project, and we're looking at a ruling from Wisconsin's Supreme Court on probable cause in a case that involved a search after officers say they smelled marijuana in a car. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about probable cause, how it works here in Wisconsin? Do you agree with this state Supreme Court decision? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about probable cause and police searches with John Gross, director of UW-Madison's Public Defender Project. A ruling on that issue from the state Supreme Court came out earlier this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about probable cause, maybe your experiences. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Watertown. Jim, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. I mean, there's a gray area here, but I think that the courts dropped the ball on this one. Here in Wisconsin, what is it, an ounce, up to an ounce, and it's a misdemeanor? Why are they searching this guy, like, and as in getting ready to arrest him? And, I mean, and this is all in, you know, if you're thinking that all the police are going to do the right thing. You know, for a smell, I think that it should be padded. Now, granted, if you're able to look at what happened after the fact, yeah, the guy had a dangerous substance that needs to be taken off the street. Absolutely. And so, you know, if you're able to look at that, yes, you know, he needed to get arrested.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. John, he points out that possession is a misdemeanor, but it is a misdemeanor that can result in jail time. So that potentially could lead to an arrest. Do I have that right?
No, that's correct. I think we should be very clear that possession of marijuana in Wisconsin is still illegal in Wisconsin, even though some of our neighboring states have changed their laws, and Wisconsin does allow for certain hemp products and CBD products, which are a derivative, but don't contain the active chemical THC that is what makes marijuana illegal. So a person can be arrested for it. It is a misdemeanor typically. So yes, so we are still talking about a crime.
Jim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Martha is with us now in Menominee. Martha, hi.
Hey, Rob. Say, yeah, I'm kind of with Jim on this one. This claim, you know, I thought I smelled marijuana, sounds a lot like, quote, I thought I saw a gun, you know, close quote. I think it's too general and too able to be used to abuse for abuse. I think the cops can lie too easily with this. And the criminal justice system is already stacked against the defendant. And so I think that there should have to be something in addition to that, like not wearing your seatbelt or a gun that I thought I saw was visible or whatever in addition for this to be probable cause.
Martha, thanks for the call. John.
Yeah, well, I have to say that this issue has come up in numerous states who have either legalized marijuana to some degree or have also legalized hemp or CBD products that smell exactly like marijuana. And I think the Wisconsin court decision here is a bit of an outlier, frankly. Other courts who have considered this under a similar set of circumstances have said the fact that we have something that is legal to possess that smells like marijuana means that just the odor of marijuana is not enough to establish probable cause to arrest. And so I think this decision is a little out of step with what other state Supreme Courts have been finding when they've addressed this same issue.
Thanks for the call, Martha. John, though, a lot of these probable cause cases, they're going to involve something that involves something subjective on the part of the arresting officer, right? You might perceive somebody is behaving in a threatening way. Somebody else might look and say, I don't think they're being that threatening. We put some kind of subjective judgment onto police. I don't think there's any choice in that. Is that right?
That's true. I mean, you want officers to be able to respond to the threat of criminal activity in proactive ways. And you want them to take reasonable steps to address public safety and the various scenarios that they can can encounter on the daily basis, from traffic stops to reports of domestic violence. It's hard to give them, a precise calculation as to when there is or is not probable cause. But I mean, that being said, I think a lot of times if an officer misperceives something and makes an arrest in sort of an abundance of caution, witnesses can be interviewed and there's a burden placed on proof beyond a reasonable doubt at trial. But when you talk about situations where there's contraband, right, that the item itself that the officer is attempting to locate is a crime, whether it's drugs or a gun, these are areas where we might want to really be cautious when evaluating whether or not an officer has probable cause, because the recovery of the item itself constitutes the crime.
Thanks for that call. Molly is with us now in Madison. Molly, hi. Are you there, Molly?
The police are here to protect us. Whether or not they smell something, shouldn't they just be allowed to protect us? Or off the street.
Molly, thanks for the call. Molly was breaking up there, but I think leaning toward erring on the side of, hey, let police make these judgments if they perceive this as a need to protect the public.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people feel that way, and people often view, evidence being suppressed or thrown out as a sort of legal technicality. But look, there's also important personal privacy, Fourth Amendment rights for people. People don't want to be pulled over and detained and have their car searched over nothing, right? On the suspicion that the officers might recover some type of drugs or an illegal weapon. So there has to be a balance here between wanting to protect personal privacy, wanting to protect people from police harassment, from racial profiling, and also, legitimate law enforcement efforts to remove dangerous, harmful drugs or weapons from our streets.
Molly, thanks for the call. Sorry we lost that connection. Shane is with us now in Madison. Shane, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say on the topic that I find it very close to borderline to where it could be damaging to people's protected rights of random searches and seizures, that if you could just basically do it off of subjectively hearsay, I just find that rather inappropriate. I had a experience a few years back where I was pulled over in a vehicle I had just purchased. I didn't really live at the best side of town, and within the first like 16 hours of having this vehicle, I'm driving around and they're like, oh, well, we see this vehicle, it's a nice vehicle in a bad neighborhood, and we're kind of smelling marijuana. And I'm like, well, They ended up keeping me outside at negative degree temperatures in a t-shirt, finding nothing and wasting a bunch of my time.
Shane, thanks for the call. Just in our last minute or so, John, Shane raising the concern that if we allow too much leeway, we might be sacrificing some of our rights.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as I mentioned before, we want to strike this balance. We do want officers to be able to have flexibility to make these difficult decisions they have to make in the moment to police harmful substances and dangerous weapons and get them off the street. But we also have to honor people's privacy rights, their Fourth Amendment rights, their rights to be free from an unreasonable search and seizure, which is in our Constitution, our Fourth Amendment. And the question really is whether or not the court struck the right balance in this particular case. And I'm a little skeptical that this was the right way to resolve the issue.
Shane, thanks for the call. And John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison. He directs the university's Public Defender Project. He joined us for a look at a new Wisconsin State Supreme Court ruling on probable cause for police searches.